welcome back to Hate Fighting Podcast. Wow, that was really loud. Look how much bigger that one was than the other ones. I always do that.
Well, you put your radio voice on, it gets a little louder.
Welcome back to Hate Fighting Podcast. How was that? Was that good?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's like Parks and Rec. I'm not going to say the name of the radio show that they do on Parks and Rec. Have you watched Parks and Rec?
Yes.
The fake with Ira and the word that I probably shouldn't say on this podcast. They have good fake radio voices. Good production on that fake radio show.
Have you ever seen the Howard Stern movie?
I have not. So I saw, like, it used to come on, like, VH1 all the time when I was a kid. And so I've seen, like, scenes from it, but I've never sat down and watched it start to finish.
Yeah, they get on because he didn't say WNBC.
W-E-N-B-C.
W-E-N-B-C.
Yep, got to work on my intro voice. Welcome back to Hey Fightin' Podcast. I'm Cody Worsham. Now I've gone into NPR mode. I don't know what I'm doing. Hester, good to be with you. I don't need to give you the full intro. Although I was kind of planning this and I had a joke planned. I was gonna call you Jacob Hester, inspired by James Rodriguez, recent Everton signing.
Oh yeah.
To see if you would get it. How you feeling about James?
I'm feeling really good about it. We actually made 3 signings. That's 3 times more than we normally make, and I actually feel really good about all of them. So EPL season about to start this weekend. Let's go.
For those who don't know, James is spelled James, but he goes by James.
I've corrected everyone that said James, by the way. I'm that guy.
Would you ever go by Jacob Hester? I think it actually sounds pretty good. You got the alliteration going.
My radio show has like 37 H's in it already, so let's just add an H sound to
it. Jacob Hester and Hanny. I like it. It's got a ring to it. Okay, we're going to get into some more substantial conversation stuff, certainly than where we've started, but I want to start here. And this is kind of like a quasi-substantial story, but I'm going to make like a fun spin on it. So there was a story in the Clarion Ledger today about Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Basically, he's going to take a day, or he's talking about taking a day, and cross-training some of his players, putting offensive players in defensive meetings, defensive players in offensive meetings, in case they have an issue with COVID and a position group is quarantined or can't play or whatever, so that they have guys who can play both ways. Now, that's a serious thing. This virus is not something to make light of. But I've actually thought about this before, the idea of someone playing both ways in this season because of the extenuating circumstances. So I'm going to throw the first question to you, and we're going to call this segment First Question. Spent a lot of time coming up with that name too. First question is, who would you like to see from LSU playing both ways? I think there's an obvious answer, and if you want to give the obvious answer, it's okay, but let's give a couple names.
So I'm sure everybody would throw Derek Singley out there. That's probably the obvious answer.
It
we
is.
Saw him do it at Dunham at a very high level, but I'm going to throw Eric Gilbert to you because this is a guy that was an elite defensive end. So one of my good friends, Randy McMichael, was a star at Georgia and a longtime NFL tight end. We had him on my show, and we were talking about Gilbert, and he said, Jake, I'm not sure he's not a better defensive end than he is tight end.
Wow.
And I kind of stopped him. I said, but he was the number one tight end in the country. He's the highest rated ever in 247. So he stopped me. He goes, I said what I said. I'm not sure he's not a better defensive end. So if a guy like that, who is a 12-year NFL vet, talks about his talent at defensive end, I'm not going to lie. I would love to see it.
That's a really good one. Because what I've seen from him at tight end, in addition to what you said about 24/7 sports and their evaluations of him, he's really good at tight end. So if he can play defensive end, I mean, I could give an obvious one, like Joseph Evans is an obvious one too, because he's playing both ways. He's moved from offensive line to defensive line and looked really good at defensive line from everything we've heard. He's considered a starter there right now. And he's a guy with an interesting story, really talented guy. Like he's like a really good singer. I need to get him on the podcast at some point. I was thinking about that today. Like I may just ask him to sing. Like, just first question, can you sing me something?
Well, we're bonded already because he's a Golden Tornado, and my mom is a Golden Tornado from Hainesville.
Okay.
And so we all know what kind of powerhouse that is in high school football.
That's a good mascot, the Golden Tornadoes. Is there a better mascot in the state of Louisiana than the Golden Tornado?
It's pretty good.
That's got to be up there. Nothing comes to mind for me.
Another guy that we can mention because we've seen it is Jacoby Stevens. Jacoby Stevens, I think, has played almost every position in his LSU career. He was an H-back receiver type at one time, right? And we've seen him basically play outside linebacker on the line of scrimmage. We've seen him play like a linebacker. We've seen him play a deep safety. He has been all over the place. And let's say that he's found his way. I think he's found exactly what he is meant to be, which is a hybrid safety linebacker, just an X-factor type player. But we have seen him get a jet sweep in his LSU career.
I'll throw Racy McMath in there. I don't know where he would be on defense, but the way that he plays on special
disruptor.
Teams, you know he can tackle, you know he can hit. I think he would work just fine there. So LSU's got some guys that that could do it on both sides of the ball. All right, before we get into the scrimmage, LSU had their first scrimmage this past weekend on Friday. I want to talk about capacity. It's about 11 o'clock right now. They're about to announce this. By the time this is out, it'll be announced. But LSU's announcing its Tiger Stadium capacity for the first game. There are a lot of details, but the gist of it is 25% capacity and mandatory mask wearing inside the stadium, and they're requiring 6 feet of social distancing between non-family groups, people who didn't travel together, live together. Now, there are a billion other details in terms of parking and tailgating. There's not going to be any tailgating. You can have gatherings around your vehicle, but there's specific guidelines regarding tailgating and no cooking and no music and all this kind of stuff. There's a million implications when you think about how complex a game day is, from getting there, arriving, getting to your seat, concessions, bathroom, all that stuff. All that stuff is at LSUSports.net. You're going to hear a media blitz of it from Scott Woodward, who's going to be on your show in a little bit, with Hester and Hannah Griff, and hanging with Hester and Hannah Griff and Jacob Hester. And
yeah, Jacob.
There's so many H's.
A lot
you're right H's. About
when
that.
When Hunt's there, it's just a mess.
Oh, gosh. So many H's. But yeah, you can find out all those details. I don't have them all in front of me right now, and I'm certainly not the expert to go to on there. But my initial reaction when I found out that LSU was going to have 25% capacity was relief and excitement, because I was in, I hope quietly, maybe not quietly, maybe people who talked to me knew this, maybe I was too obvious about it. I was trying to be quiet about my pessimism this summer. I just didn't think that football was going to be played at all. And I certainly didn't think there was a chance that fans were going to be in Tiger Stadium. And that possibility, that plan, has me excited. Is it going to be 100,000 in Death Valley and, you know, the place rocking and the earth shaking? No. But 25,000 people in Death Valley can be loud, and that can provide an atmosphere, and it can not be the same thing, but it can be a facsimile. It can be a scaled-down version of Saturday night in Death Valley, and that's better than no Saturday night in Death Valley. So I'm excited about that aspect of it.
I am too, because in the summertime, you're exactly right. We just wanted football. We, like, the fans part of being able to go to the game was important, but it wasn't the first thing. The first thing was, are we actually going to have boot meat leather?
Yeah.
Are we going to kick off? And so now this is what we're talking about. And you're exactly right, right? We want to see 103,000 people in Tiger Stadium. We want it to be a full capacity. We want it to be peak Death Valley. It's not going to be that, but you are going to get fans. And I think it's important to remember, this is going to be the situation everywhere. So it's not going to be like LSU's at a disadvantage. My radio partner on SiriusXM, Chris Doering, was kind of joking with me earlier, and he said, man, I'm upset that LSU won't get the full experience of the Swamp when they come to Gainesville this year. And I said, I get it, but, you know, Alabama's not going to get the full experience of Death Valley when they come.
Yep.
And, you know, when LSU travels to Auburn, they're not going to get Jordan Hare's full experience. So it's going to happen all across the league. 25% is probably somewhere that we expected, 20 to 25%. And I also think you're right as far as there's still going to be noise in there. It's not like you're going to be able to hear a pin drop. I mean, 25,000 people, 25 Cajun fans can definitely make some noise and have an impact on the game.
You're all responsible for being four times louder than normal if you go into Death Valley this year with your mask on, which will make it a little bit tougher. But, there's always two ways to respond to things. You can be half glass full, half glass empty. And I guess in this case, it'd be quarter full, three quarters empty. I guess that would be the better analogy, mathematically speaking.
You're trying to do fractions
here? Yeah, I haven't done math in a long time. I didn't have to take a single math class in college because I tested out of it. Yeah,
okay.
I was really good
weird
student.
Weird flex.
Yeah, very weird flex. I tested out of like a whole semester of college basically in all my math classes because I was in AP classes in high school, and
the flex continues. Yes.
Yeah, this is no longer a weird flex. It's just a flex. And then didn't have to take any in college, so now I've reverted to being terrible at math. Like, I don't even remember anything I learned in calculus. I don't even remember what like a derivative is. I just remember the word derivative. Don't even remember how you actually do it. Gone way off the deep end here with this analogy, but a quarter full glass versus a three quarters empty glass. I would just choose to look at the optimistic side of it and just be excited that there are going to be fans in Tiger Stadium this year and Death Valley this year for the first game at least. And if we can keep these numbers where they need to be and stay in the right phases, then we can keep having some fans and have some football, which certainly this summer I was not optimistic about. And so I guess just coming from that perspective, I'm excited. All right, let's talk about the first scrimmage. There was football in Tiger Stadium in Death Valley this past weekend. No one saw it other than the people that were there with the team. You weren't there, were you? I know Gordy was there. Did you make it out there on Friday?
Just for a quick little bit. Didn't get to stay the full scrimmage, but I did see a couple of plays.
Okay, so my plan is to go out on this Friday as well and kind of do what we normally do, where we talk about it, but in vague terms, so we don't give away too much. But there's been enough conversation about it. Coach O had a press conference. I think Gordy talked about it on LSU 60 this week, that we've picked up a few things. And one of the things that has been picked up on was the play of Eric Gilbert. Now, before we go further on Eric Gilbert, this was a talking point last week.
It was.
You asked about his pronunciation of his name.
Yes.
He told you Eric Gilbert.
From his lips to my ear.
Okay. So, have you heard different since then?
I have not heard any different. I've heard some radio hosts say it different.
So 104.5 is very guilty of this. I'm going to call your guys out right now. There's a lot of Arik. Arik, is that the pronunciation they've gone with? I know that for a fact is wrong. Now, I will go on this with your Eric. I've asked around a little bit, and I've been told that it's actually Arik. It's a long
okay.
A, Arik. But if you think about Arik, if you say it enough or if you say it with a Southern accent, it's going to sound like Eric, basically. Like, unless you really emphasize Arik Gilbert.
Cody, you know I'm a redneck, so everything I say ends up turning into kind of twang anyway, so.
So try to say it with a long A.
Arik.
See?
It
sounds like Eric.
Gosh, I'm a redneck.
So I think that's what's happened. I think he, like we talked about last week, this used to be a thing with Duop Reith at LSU.
Yep.
It was pronounced Dwop, like one syllable. I can't even do it. Dwop. Dwop. Just one syllable. And because everyone just kept saying Duop, he was like, yeah, it's Duop. Just go with Duop. It's Duop Reith. So you see this with guys who have slightly different names that we're not used to seeing, different spellings, variations, come from a different country. They have a different spelling of their name that they just kind of give in to what everyone else is saying. So I think technically it may be Arik, but I think Arik will go because they just sound so phonetically similar.
I'm just going to act like I've been saying it right the whole time. It's just my accent, and you couldn't tell the difference.
I mean, that is the best thing to do, just pretend like you've been right the whole time.
So anytime I have a difficult name of a player that I don't necessarily cover, so when I do the SEC radio show and maybe there's a player at Vanderbilt who's a second stringer and I haven't really done my homework on him and he stars in a game, you just say it really fast and it sounds like
you're
saying it the right way. Yeah.
Like Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Is he?
I don't know if that was right, but it sounded right.
Yeah, it sounded right to me.
I bet people like that call NBA games just like stay up like late at night fearing they're going to mispronounce that name. Like they just walk into a mirror and just start saying Giannis Antetokounmpo like over and over again just to get it right.
Is there an LSU player that you remember having a name where you just kind of said it as fast as you could?
I mean, there is. Like I can remember guys in the past. I remember doing that like on Tiger Rag Radio when no one was listening, 6 to 8 on Tuesday nights, that I would just like say it and I didn't really care. I can't think of the specific names. I'm trying to think of my memory for these things is so bad. I just put them out of my head immediately. Is there anyone that comes to mind for you?
You just said it, the basketball player at LSU.
Duop Reith.
Who I'm going to let you keep saying
yeah,
it because I'm done saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Duop. We just go with Duop. It's much easier. Back to the scrimmage. Man, we are really going off the rails today. Eric Gilbert. That time I got worried about the first name and then I stumbled over the last name, which is very easy, but
yep.
I was so intimidated by the first name. Eric Gilbert had two touchdowns, which Coach O talked about. Saw a video of one of them on LSU's Twitter. It's quite impressive. Two guys tried to tackle him. No guys tackled him. Man, he's going to – like, I don't want to build it up too much, and we talked about him a lot, including on this show, but I'm thrilled about this guy. I wish Ja'Marr Chase was playing this year.
Yeah.
I am excited that Eric Gilbert might get, you know, 10, 20, 30 more touches because he's going to be maybe the number two weapon in the offense.
Hey, let's do it. Let's talk him up. I mean, I'm serious. We're at a point now in college football where if you're a true freshman, especially if you enrolled early like he did, there's going to be expectations. There's going to be expectations for you to come out and not just be a contributor, right? So, you know, 10 years ago in college football, if you contributed to your team as a freshman, God, that was a plus. That was huge, right? If you didn't redshirt and you gave your team something, that was a plus. Now, no, you got to be a guy. You have to be a guy. If they recruit you and you're that highly rated, they're expecting you from day one to be a dude on this football team. And so, just look, from watching him from afar, he looks like a guy that's going to embrace that. He wants that challenge. He wants to be a leader as a freshman, and they're going to count on him in so many different situations. Yes, with the ball in his hand, Cody, but also when he doesn't have the ball. What can you do to create a mismatch? What can you do to disguise something? How creative can you get with Eric Gilbert in the run game, right? Because there's going to be so much attention on him. If you motion him and all he's doing is cutting off the backside on his own, well, there's going to be so many eyeballs on him at that moment, right, that your running back might have one less guy that he has to make miss. And so there's so many things that Steve Ensminger and this offensive staff can do with him to not only get the ball in his hands, but to have the defense pay attention to him at all times.
He's going to be special. I'm really excited about seeing him. Another guy who's going to be special, and this is a guy I went out to practice last Tuesday for Competition Tuesday, and this was the guy that I walked away most impressed with after watching him for a few minutes, Kayshawn Boutte. It was the first or second practice without Jamar, and he's wearing the number one jersey. He looked like Jamar to me. I was like, are my eyes deceiving me? Is that not Jamar Chase right there in front of me? He looks really good. Now, I don't want to put Biletnikoff expectations on his lap, but he looks very productive, and Coach O said yesterday in his press conference that they've got him locked in as a starter, which after watching him for a few snaps doesn't surprise me at all. He's physical. He's athletic. He high points the ball. He's maybe not as big as Jamar was as a true freshman, but he's in an offense that I think suits his skill set better than that offense did at Jamar's true freshman season. And, man, he looks really good. He's not a like-for-like replacement. He's more of a slot guy than Jamar, but I think he's going to have a huge season.
You can just listen to everything I said about Gilbert and kind of repeat it, because the same thing, right? Now, they were counting on him to be a contributor. Now you miss a Jamar Chase. Now you've got to be a guy. And this team's going to count on a lot of freshmen, and a lot of teams across the country are going to count on freshmen to step up and be guys that help them win football games. And everything we've heard from him all through his recruiting process was just wait till he gets on campus. You are going to be incredibly impressed. And in recruiting, there were some other names. Maybe they got talked about more, but at the end of the day, once all the dust settled, he was the number two receiver in the country coming out. And so now you've got Terrace Marshall, who was the number one receiver in the country. You've got him as the number two receiver, and you've got a guy in Racy McMath that's as hungry as any football player is going to be on this team, because he's waited his turn. This is his opportunity. He's no longer just a special teams guy that comes in and makes a play or two here and there. And so you've got three hungry guys. I said it last week. It'd be idiotic for anybody to get up here and say the team's better without Jamar Chase. They're not. But if you had to lose a dynamic player at a certain position, you had depth at the receiver position to enable guys to step up and try to fill the shoes, big shoes, giant shoes that Jamar Chase left.
Think about the talent you could put on the field with Miles Brennan at quarterback. You could have the number one running back in the country coming out of high school in John Emery. You could have the number one receiver in the country coming out of high school in Terrace Marshall. Number two receiver in the country coming out of high school in Kayshawn Boutte. The highest rated tight end ever in 24/7 sports history in Eric Gilbert. And then Racy McMath, who's 6'3", 224, and runs a 4.4 40, and maybe even faster than that. He got clocked at a 4.4 40 in high school, and I've heard rumors that he's actually a little bit faster than that now. That's just an insane level of talent, and that's a credit to Coach O and his staff for recruiting that kind of talent. And it's a credit to those guys for being in the right place at the right time, waiting their turn, being patient and getting the opportunity. And I'm excited to see him on the field this year. I think it's going to be really fun. Another position group that stood out from the scrimmage was defensive end and the pass rush. Coach O said a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And as always, you can half glass half full, glass half empty, and say, oh, the offensive line, I'm worried about the offensive line. But one, scrimmage stats, sacks are a little bit easier to get because you really just get a hand on the quarterback and it counts as a sack because it's non-contact. But I think it's a good sign to see, especially with Andre Anthony, Trevez Moore. In that new 4-3, you need edge rushers, and those are guys that are upperclassmen that haven't had huge numbers at LSU, huge production, but talented guys and guys who've waited their turn. And if they can give you that kind of rush off the edge, I think that changes this defense entirely.
Yeah, it's one of the positions that we've talked about almost every week. And in the history of football, the defensive line is always a little bit ahead of the offensive line, to your point about should you be worried about the offensive line. And this is a season where I think you'll see the offensive lines across the country take a little bit extra time to get ready, because they did not have those physical practices in the spring. It has not been as physical leading up to the season. So that's the one position group that's probably going to be a little bit behind across the board. But it still is nice to hear those guys getting pressure, because we know Bo Pelini is going to be creative. You know he's going to create pressure. It might not just be from rushing four. But you also, you have to be able to, if you want to, get pressure with four. That is so key, because you don't want to be the guy who only can create pressure when you bring a safety off the edge, or if you bring a safety in the A gap. You want to be able to say, hey, we're going to play coverage. We're going to go get after them with our four up front guys. And so that's the position that everybody, including I'm sure the LSU coaching staff, is watching as close as any, because there's veteran guys who haven't had the chance to really play and get their stats up, and there's also a couple of young, hungry guys that are pushing them. So the competition has been really good at that position. I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see if the veterans win out. I'm excited to see if, you know, B.J. Ojulari and those guys push those veteran players for playing time as well, because the defensive tackle position, you lose a Tyler Shelvin, but again, the depth there because of this recruiting class and the last couple of classes is still really good.
So as you were talking there, I was really upset with myself about not being able to think of names that I couldn't pronounce in the past. You remember Trey Leale Matafau?
God bless you.
I mean, yeah, thank you. I didn't get that one close at all. That one was one that used to get me all the time. The Polynesian names occasionally get a little tough. Fortunately, like, I'm experienced with the Colby Delahousses, the Cajun names. Those feel natural to me. But yeah, there's been a few in the past that have tripped me up. But your analysis on the defensive ends was really good. I heard about half of it, but it was really bothering me that.
You're basically like me. Look, I do multiple radio shows. I get it. Sometimes the guest gives a really good answer, and you're kind of listening, but you're also looking up some information.
Exactly.
It might be your next question. It might be if your eBay auction's winning. I mean, sometimes it's just different.
It's called delegating. I trusted you with the defensive end analysis. People don't need to hear that from me. You've played this game at a high level. They want to hear it from you. And so I was just giving you the space to shine while I cleaned up some business.
It's my time as an All-State nose guard in high school.
Oh, I didn't know you played nose guard.
Oh, double team, you split it, rip and split. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, you know your thing. You know your stuff there. I'm impressed. Okay, one more thing before we get to mailbag. And by the way, the hat's back. We are going to get the hat. I don't know if you can hear the hat, but it's back. Before we get to that, I want to talk about one more bit of news. Cornerback transfer, Darren Evans from Nicholls State. Go Colonels. Give some depth to the secondary. I don't know anything about him other than some stats. So he's had 28 pass breakups in three seasons. That's really good. The frame seems like it fits. The one thing I'll say is after going out to practice last week, my one concern, I went away impressed with those guys that I was talking about. Very impressed with Bo Pelini's voice.
Yeah.
I mean, just like 10 out of 10 voice echoes across the entire practice field. Best voice on the team. My one concern was cornerback depth. I thought the guys that were out there looked fine. I thought they all looked good. It was just, man, if one or two guys gets hurt, I'm worried about the numbers here. There's only five, six, seven guys there before. So you get another guy in there in Darren Evans, a little more depth, a little more security. What do you think his impact is in his one season at LSU?
So I've tried to reach out to a couple of Nicholls State coaches that I know to try to get the good word. And the word that I got back, he's got the frame for the SEC, and he also has the mentality for the SEC. So it's always a jump. There's always a jump. Even if you're one of the best at that level, it's a jump, right? It's a jump in talent, and so it takes a little bit to adjust. But this is a player that a lot of people think a lot of, and obviously he's a local product as well, so you know it means something for him to be able to finish his college career at LSU. But the links there, like you mentioned, the production's there. Now, okay, when the speed of the game changes, how can he react to that? There's guys like Jabril Cox who it has been seamless. Seems like you step in, you come from the FCS level, FBS is not too fast for you. In fact, you've been named a preseason All-American. So that's your hope. Your hope is the speed is something that he can handle, which he's shown on tape that he can handle speed. It's going to go up a tick, and I'm excited to see because I'm like you. I was hoping they would add a veteran player in that room because you feel good about what you have in front of you, but you don't want to try to get to a younger player that has not played if you don't have to. They have scholarship available, and so now you bring in a veteran.
When I was at Nicholls, Ladarius Webb was at Nicholls,
yeah.
And I think he was at Southern Miss before that. And I remember going to Nicholls games and watching him and being like, that dude is a pro. I mean, he was unbelievable at the FCS level.
He played a couple years.
Yeah, he had a good career.
a long career.
And was a really good player. My point being that there are guys at that level that can absolutely play in the NFL. And so if Darren Evans is that type of guy that can slot in for LSU and be a, you know, a third corner or whatever role they ask him to be, or maybe he's just depth, who knows. There are guys at that level who can play, and so hopefully he comes in and has that kind of impact. All right, I want to get to the mailbag question. Lots of questions here today. Anytime that I tag you and get the retweet from you on the questions, which is pretty much every time that I tag you, the questions pour in. This one from Luke Johnson, because we passed on a Luke question before. Would you rather fight one Jacob Hester-sized chicken or 30 chicken-sized Jacob Hesters?
Oh, that's for you, though. I can't fight myself.
One Jacob Hester-sized chicken. Probably the one. I feel like the one Jacob Hester-sized chicken. I don't feel like, certainly you are a physical presence, but I feel, you know, like you're not like 6'8", 250.
Hey, I'm stubby. You can say it.
No, but you're just, the size isn't necessarily what scares me about fighting you. It's more of the fight and the football player mentality. Now, a chicken your size is pretty terrifying, but it's just one. I get one crack at it. Yeah. You know, if I land one punch, if I get lucky, if the chicken gets something in its eye, whatever the case may be, I got a chance.
Great question, by the way.
Now, what would be terrifying is if I cut that chicken's head off and then it was running around headless, but it was you size. That's the stuff of nightmares.
I'm just going to agree with you. Great question by Luke.
It's not really a question that you can answer. Like, you can't really talk about fighting yourself.
No, I can't.
This one from Garland Gillen, another great question. Which current LSU player could y'all see starring in the Premier League if they didn't play football?
Great question. Fantastic question, obviously. Zach Von Rosenberg. And not because of his punter skills. I mean, obviously that would come into play. Zach's extremely athletic. People don't give him credit for that. Played baseball for a long time. I can see him being in goal. I can see that.
Good size. He's like 6'4". Yeah. 6'4". He's
good reflexes. We know he can punt it.
I like that. I'm going to go with Cade York. I feel like
if he went the easy route, the kicker.
If he's a kicker, he's played soccer before. It's a requirement to be a college kicker. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Which non-specialist would you pick?
Dang it, I thought I got through the loophole here. Nope. You called me
I'm
going
to go Jontre Kirkland.
Yeah, good size, good speed.
Something tells me, I've seen his feet before. I've seen it all the way from his high school days till now. If you gave him 6 months to train, I got faith in him.
I'm cheating. Since you threw a loophole at, or since you called me out on my loophole, I'm still going to cheat. I'm going to go with someone from last year's team, Grant Delpit, because one time at practice, I saw Grant Delpit do kick-ups with a football, and he must have juggled that thing like 20 times. I mean, very, very clean. He's got great touch.
That's completely cheating. You've seen it, and it was last year's team. But, yeah, next question.
Yeah, we're gonna it's my podcast, my rules, so we can go with that. Let's get to it. We got a lot of non-football questions. I'll get another one of those in a second. Over under passing yards for Miles Brennan against Mississippi State. That's from One Team One Podcast. I added the over under. I don't know why I did that. It doesn't say over under, it just says passing yards.
Oh, okay. I was trying to set the number. I think it's crazy. It tells you kind of where we're at with LSU and their offensive philosophy now. I mean, 250 just seems like that's a given.
Yeah.
It honestly does. And 3 years ago, if I would have said 250 yards against an SEC opponent, you'd be like, that's a great game. But I think, you know, Miles right now goes out there and he throws for 250 yards. I think he's somewhere in that 250 to 300-yard range.
I agree. I think that you start at 300 and then you go up or down from there. I feel like the offense is designed toward that. Based on what we heard from the scrimmage, based on probably some of what you saw and some of the conversations I've had, he looked very good, was completing the percentage of passes you'd like to see him complete. I feel like 300 is kind of the starting point, especially with the weapons he has, and we'll go up or down from there. But that's going to, you know, Mississippi State's going to come in and throw the ball around a ton too, so it's going to be that kind of game, you would think. So I'll go with that number. All right, back to a non-football question. What's your favorite Hall & Oates song? That's from Jarrett Roser.
Sarah Smile. Yeah, you can go chalk with a couple answers here, but
I think I have to go You Make My Dreams Come True.
Oh.
That's a personal one. My wife likes that song. When it comes on, she gets,
I think,
happy.
There's
so.
A movie, 500 Days of Summer, I think is the name of the movie, and they play, it's like a montage in there.
Yep.
It's pretty, that's a strong choice. Hall & Oates slap, so.
Rich Girl.
Yeah.
You got a lot of options. Did you know that You Make My Dreams Come True was not a number one song?
I did not.
I was shocked.
That's blasphemy.
I checked the Wikipedia right before we started recording because I have access
cheated?
To the question.
You keep cheating.
Is it cheating?
I mean, I was.
Is it cheating if you admit it?
And I was doing radio, and so I didn't have time to prepare for the podcast. I'm going all off the top of my head, and you're cheating.
All right, let's get the hat. Today's edition of Get the Hat. Now you are prepared for this one. Is the Big Cat edition? Big Cat was back last week. We saw a video of it. And what I did is I cut out all the position groups, put it in my national championship hat, which you can hear right here. Last time I did this and shook it in front of the microphone, you actually couldn't hear anything. So I'm trying to shake it louder.
I'll tell the audience. He's doing it.
Yeah, I am actually shaking that. So this is what we're going to do. Hester's going to pick a position group. I'm going to pick a position group. And we're each going to pick one player from that position group to win. Since he's the guest, okay. I will let him pick first. It's kind of looking. You're not supposed to look.
Offensive line.
Offensive line, okay. Yeah. You pick your offensive lineman first, and then I'll pick my position.
All right, so we're going Big Cat, offensive line. This one's pretty easy for me. Give me Ed Ingram.
Yeah, that was obvious. Yeah. That's a terrifying proposition. Yeah. All right, let's see what position.
I'm not feeling good about your chances. I don't even know.
Ed Ingram might be the top of the list. Okay, I got special teams. We're going to revisit that in a second because we did decide a rule on special teams before, and I'm kind of bummed that I picked that one. We're going to throw that one back in the hat. Not because I'm afraid.
Yeah, you are.
Because I could pick a monster on special teams, but because we made a decision before we started recording regarding special teams, I'll address that in a second. Quarterback. Oh, man.
Yes. Ed Ingram versus.
All right, so let's pull up the roster here real quick. I do have it in front of me. Miles is out. We got to keep Miles healthy. Walker Kinney, you're up. Walk-on quarterback, 6'2", 223.
I see. I thought you were going Finley there.
And no. Big body. I'm protecting my scholarship quarterbacks, and I'm throwing the walk-ons to the Wolves. Ed Ingram is going to feast on Walker Kinney. Walker, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this didn't play out like you probably thought. You probably didn't think I was going to draw the offensive line and get Ed Ingram, who's probably the number one seed in the Big Cat drill.
Have you read The Art of War, Jacob Hester?
Yes.
I was hoping you would say no because I was just going to make up a rule from The Art of War. One of the rules from The Art of War is to know when you're defeated. I don't know if that's true or not. But
okay, let's do this. I'm going to throw another curveball. I'm just pitching all day today.
Okay.
If you had a ranking of the one guy in the last 15 years of LSU football, and I said, Cody, you get one guy, and if this guy wins the Big Cat drill, you get a new car, right? Okay. Something like that, right?
Okay.
Who do you have? Who's your guy?
Man. You know, I'm thinking fullback, and I'm thinking Herman Johnson, or I'm thinking Sean Jordan. Mm-hmm. And I might go Sean Jordan because I know he's a fighter. So I think I might go Sean Jordan.
I'm also going fullback. I'm going with, since you took one of my fullbacks, my senior year I had two fullbacks, I'm going with the other one, Quinn Johnson. If there was ever a drill that was molded for Quinn Johnson, it was Big Cat. This guy is a brick wall. He cannot be moved. He was playing linebacker before he made the move to fullback. And, you know, sometimes, Cody, later in the year on scout team, you know, as a veteran player, you're hoping maybe those guys aren't going as hard, right? And he would be standing there, just standing still, and you couldn't move him. The guy played, I think, 7 or 8 years in the NFL after making a position change halfway through his college career. He'd be undefeated. There's nobody that I can think of. Sean would give him the best battle, but it'd be tough.
So I'm an idiot, and I said Herman Johnson, and I meant Quinn Johnson. Because I'm dumb, and I'm bad with names, as we've learned.
I mean, Herman, look.
Well, I said what?
Not
I
a
said
bad choice.
I said fullback, and
yeah,
I
and then said, you threw Herman out there, and I was a little confused.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie to
you. So I'm sure most of y'all noticed that, or some of y'all. I'm so bad with like names, and especially like the last 10 years of LSU football players. It just every year my brain resets, and I just forget everything that I ever knew. So
that's fair. Look, when I was playing in the NFL, I watched LSU. I watched every single game from start to finish. But the names from 2008 to 2013 aren't as fresh in my mind
as
they are when I played and after covering the team.
Yes.
So I get it.
Apologies to both Herman and Quinn. Okay, let's address the special teams issue because it is pulled from the hat. And we agreed beforehand that if we pulled special teams that we would not pick another position because it would be more fun to pit two special teamers against each other. Now, I'm going to go first this time. And I thought about this. And I may give you your choice when I say this. I was going to go with Avery Atkins because we've seen Avery Atkins hit. But I'm going with someone that you picked, Zach Von Rosenberg, for the soccer question. And I'm going with Zach Von Rosenberg because old man strength is a real thing. And we both know this.
I think he's older than you are, close to it.
I think he's 1 year behind me. Biggie was 08, I'm 07 from high school. Old man strength is a real thing. My friends have noticed when I go play trolley ball with my friends, when things get physical, as they often do in trolley ball.
Naturally.
I have friends who are bigger than me or in better shape than me, but because I am a dad and because I am a little bit older, the old man strength has kicked in for me, and it hasn't for them yet. And I could kick their ass, man, with that old man strength. You're hoisting toddlers all day. You're throwing them under one arm and running through the supermarket or whatever. You're carrying them to their car. They're flailing. They're crying. It develops a core strength that you just don't understand until you have it.
So it might not show on the surface, but it's in there.
It's in there. So Zach Von Rosenberg doesn't have children, but he's got the old man strength. So I'm going with Zach.
That's a solid choice. I'll go Avery Atkins because we have seen him hit a couple guys. He is a guy who basically runs down on kickoff as well after he kicks it. Like, he's a headhunter. He's looking for
hit
contact, which I don't know any kicker that's ever looking for contact. I know my kickers that I've played with, Colt David at LSU, Nate Kading in San Diego, and some of those guys, they weren't really looking for contact. But and low man wins a lot of times in Big Cat. And Zach's a little bit taller. We mentioned it, right? He'd be good in goal being 6'4", but low man typically wins in that drill.
You know, Avery got overlooked for the soccer question, too. I think he was like an all-state soccer player in Auburn, Alabama, so he might be a good choice there. All right, let's do one more because you got to get out of here and do a radio show. Oh.
We already had that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we already had that. It was quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, I threw that back.
Oh, yeah, this is better. Running back.
Okay, let's see what I've got here. Defensive line. I like my chances here. All right, go ahead and pick your running back.
I'm going because running backs and fullbacks are one and the same. I was thinking about, you know, Chris Curry would be great. Tadavis Price would be fantastic. But I'm giving a little grit here, and I'm going Torrey Carter. I am, you know, kind of an H-back-ish, but we're going to go fullback, okay? So I'm going Torrey Carter because I have voted for him for the Low Man Award, going to the nation's best fullback 2 years in a row. I'm on the committee, and I cannot get my guy the golden neck roll. Hopefully this is the year. And I can promise you one thing. He might lose, but he's not giving up. He is going to go past the whistle and some. So I'm going Torrey Carter.
Okay, so I didn't think about Torrey Carter with the running backs because
you probably didn't even put a fullback in there, did you?
No, I have wide receiver tight end.
Very disrespectful.
Because Torrey's listed as a tight end on the LSUSports.net website. So take it up with Todd Politz.
Todd, I'm coming for you.
Okay, so I would have gone – I was thinking about going with Allie Gay because I was out of practice the other day and – he fills out the pads in a way that will make you feel things that you didn't think that you could feel. He's just an impressive physical specimen. However, because it's Torrey, Allie Gay's like 6'6".
Yep.
I don't think that I want that in my life. I'm going with Apu Aika. I'm going for sheer mass. We're going for sheer mass. He's got 100 pounds on Torrey Carter. And I'm just going to hope that the sheer physics of this thing plays in my favor. Now,
and he plays low too.
He plays low. Yeah. He's big. He's nasty. He's physical. I think he's hungry because Tyler Shelvin's gone. He knows it's his chance to really stake his claim. So I'm going with Apu Aika. I would pay actual dollars to see those two guys go at it in Big Cat.
I would too. Once they graduate, we'll have a tournament.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what we need. Once these guys graduate, we need to have a tournament. For the last 10 years of LSU football, see, I aged myself out of that. There's no way I'm doing it.
I was about to say, are you getting involved? But
no, sir. So the last 10 years, and we have a tournament, we seed it, and we have a prize at the end.
Again, I would pay good money to see that. That would be a lot of fun. Mr. Hester, Jakob Hester, this was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. I know you've got a radio show to do. Literally, the announcement for capacity just came out. So you have 8 minutes to go read through the what is it, like 100 pages? I don't know. It's not 100 pages, but it's long, of policies and guidelines. I expect you to memorize them all before the show starts.
Yeah, no doubt. I've got a great education from a great school, and that's going to be no problem.
Put it to use. All right, Mr. Hester, thank you very much, and thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Like Knights of old, we fight to hold the glory of the purple and gold. Come on, you Tigers. I said, fight, 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 victory for, victory for LSU. We are number one. Victory for LSU.